Hey, good morning, everyone. Dave Weiner here. It is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. And, you know, it's funny because I was just reading something. I read a lot of news stories during the day. Basically, when I'm programming, I pace myself so that after I get something working, I pretty much always go for a round on Twitter and a round on Facebook and read my rivers and maybe post a couple of links, on occasion write a short blog post or answer an email or whatever. So I'm like always reading stuff, and I just read something that made me really stop and think and understand. I think a lot better not what's happening with Republicans. I mean, there I think it's really simple. I think that their ideal of a Republican is actually a pretty close match to Trump is. And it's never really been about the policies. They could put any policies they want to in that package. It's the package they're buying, not the policies. So, you know, Reagan happened to be a Republican, and, so he happened to believe in the things he believed in. And, but that's all just, that isn't what people voted for. People voted for somebody who would be decisive, somebody who'd be strong, a symbol, basically. A guy who didn't take bullshit. And by that point, we all sort of felt Jimmy Carter was completely full of shit. And full of himself, too. I mean, he wasn't a good salesman. It was like he wasn't really concerned with selling anything. It just by accident happened that when he was running for president in, I guess it was 76, that that he happened to be what we were looking for. He couldn't change to become what, he didn't know what we were looking for. He probably drew the wrong conclusion. I mean, in 76, what we wanted was honesty. Anything that looked even slightly honest, because we're just coming aware of how ordinary American presidents were. And I'm saying that not just me, I'm saying the older generations were doing that as well. They were slower to come around to that point of view, but they did eventually agree. I remember having arguments, being told by my parents that, you can't say that kind of thing about the President of the United States. And what I was saying basically was what eventually turned out to be proven, that the guy was, this was talking about Nixon, that Nixon was a con artist. I mean, total liar and dirty trickster and just evil. I mean, because to be fair, never mind being fair. Let's just leave it at that. That Carter was, at the time, exactly what we wanted. Reagan was playing a role and probably could have tweaked the role a little bit if he had to become more of what we wanted. He's an actor, after all, as, of course, is Trump. I'm not interested in the Republican side because I think it's really simple. I think that they're just, they want that, and they've always wanted it, and they would vote for it any time it came up, and it doesn't matter what it says. It's just, it's the confidence, the bravado, the comfort in their own skin. I mean, basically, anyway. So, but no, Sanders. I'm trying to figure out what it is about Sanders that appeals to young people, and so I read this article. It was about people from the Clinton administration. Let me see if I can find it here. Here we go. Here's the headline. Charlie Rose and President's speechwriters laugh about Obamacare lie. Right. So here's, right. This is how the world works, boys and girls. It's terrible. It's mediocrity. It's dishonest. It's terrible. I remember when I realized this, I was sitting in, was in Queens College, I think, in Queens, you know, borough of Queens in New York City, looking out at the skyline and realizing this is like, I probably had just graduated high school and I wasn't going to Queens College, by the way. So, and realizing that this whole place is being run by people like the people who ran my high school, which is really not people I had a whole lot of respect for, because they were just sort of getting by. I mean, I wanted to be great. I wanted to have a wonderful life. I wanted to do exciting things. I wanted to use all of my intellect. I wanted to be clever and creative and think of things that nobody else thought of. I still want that, by the way. It's like, you know, there's a competitive aspect to this where, you know, you sort of want to get up to the leading edge and then party there and create right there, you know. And then I realized that the world is clogged up with people who laugh about how they got to where they got by lying to people. And I'm now, you know, not as old as Bernie, but I'm getting there. I'm 61. I'm remembering what it was like to be that age and to discover that the world is awful. It's run by people who don't give a shit. And God knows what goes on in their brains, but what do they think life's about, actually, you know? I mean, are they going to... Yeah, I don't even know where to go with that. I don't want to go into their brains. So you get a guy up there and says, okay, and I don't doubt that Bernie's just as frustrated with this as I am. And you know, the mediocre people who just make decisions to get by, they probably feel this way too. Maybe they look at the world and they see the same thing that I see, but probably. Probably. That's probably the answer. The only thing is that you get so tired of not liking this that you kind of forget that, you know, you find a little sort of corner in which nobody can fuck with you and you can sort of like do what you want to do, and that's kind of how you make peace with this. And the question is, how big is that corner and how much of what you want to do you get to do, you know? And this is something I think about a lot, is because there really isn't a way to get permission to keep doing what you want to do. You have to always be fighting for the right to do that. No matter how many times you got it right and everybody else got it wrong, and how many things that are in the world that you created that, but nobody knows the story, and they've created a new story to go with it that doesn't include what you did. Because that happens a lot. That's happening all the time. You know, because there are people that are good at creating, and then there are people who are good at getting credit. And there are people who want to make a lot of money, and that's all they care about for whatever reason. And there are people who really don't give a shit about making money and just want to create the shit they want to create. And there's a flow of value going all over the place. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. People don't get rich because they deserve to get rich. The whole Ayn Rand idea that, you know, the people who are rich are the creative people. And, well, that's a bunch of bunk. Because they're usually just really good at stealing, is what they're good at. And there's nothing creative about stealing. In fact, quite the opposite. It's a disincentive to create. So the world's fucked up, boys and girls. Let's maybe be the one, you know, if that's popular, because that's kind of what Bernie's saying. Bernie starts out and says, this is how the world's fucked up, okay? And then he says, but I know what to do about it. And it's sort of like, it's like I go to somebody and I say, well, you know, I'm really feeling sick and I don't know. It just keeps getting worse. And what should I do about it? And he says, oh, I know exactly what you should do. You should go to a doctor. You see, it's like, you should get better. You know, it's 99.99% of saying, I know the world's fucked up, and then sounding convincing when you say that you know what to do about it. But the answer is, like, really, the world is... I mean, this doesn't begin to explain what the world is, but it just barely begins to. You get a big ocean liner on a tiny little river, okay? Imagine that. Or a huge semi-truck on a tiny street, okay? Try to imagine a tiny little street that has room for 1.5 cars. You can't fit 2 cars on it. If 2 cars come up approaching each other, one of them has to drive into the ditch, or maybe both of them do. Somehow they have to get off the road because there's not room for both of them. So you got this tiny little road and the trees overhead, and it's very, very pretty, and there's a little creek running and little rabbits and squirrels and all kinds of nice stuff. And the sky, sun is out. You can see the blue sky, and the sun sort of peeks through, but it's actually nice and cool because the trees are out and everything. It's a beautiful spot. So down this road comes a enormous semi-truck driving at 98 miles per hour, and there's lots of curves and bends and twists and whatever, and there are cars going the other way too. And this truck is going ring, ring, ring. It's like flying all over the place, and all the little trees and animals and stuff, they're all getting caught under it, and things are getting thrown all over the place, and it's really terrible. I mean, it's just awful. That's the world. That's us. That's the train. We're on that truck. We're part of that truck. It doesn't necessarily feel that way, but there's like, what, 6.5 billion people on the planet, and they all have to eat every day, and they all have to have clean air to breathe, and they all have to have water, and they all have to feel the way people feel is 1 in 6.5 billion, and it's this huge process of just basically staying alive is a big part of what we do. And you can't really, there's not much room on this road for change. Otherwise, all of a sudden, the truck goes in off the road and stops, and basically, you don't know what happens then. We barely know what happens as long as the truck keeps running, and that's just the way it is. None of us ever created this truck. Not a single person alive created this truck. Not one of us. All we get to do is, like, we get to keep the truck running. Every one of us has some job to do in that regard. And you can decorate a little part of the truck, or, you know, the most famous baseball player or TV actor, they get to draw something on the side of the inside of the truck, which fades out very quickly after they die. Very few people remember it. You know, it's sad. It really is, in a way, sad that we really don't... Our dreams are really totally sort of suppressed by the reality of it. And it's just the way it is. And there isn't a whole lot any of us can do about it. Even the richest person, even Michael Bloomberg or Bill Gates or Arianna Huffington or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, for that matter, or even fucking Donald Trump, okay? Yeah, none of these people get to really do a whole lot. None of us really do. So I think that's what we're dealing with Bernie. I think that's what's happening here. I think that generationally, this is part of a generation growing up, not even coming of age yet, but growing up. And part of growing up is this horrible realization that all the ideas you had about how the world actually works really don't have a whole lot to do with how the world actually works. And don't you wish that everything would be just like it was? And that's where conservatism comes from. You know, when I see conservatives who are, in many cases these days, younger than me, some 20, 30 years younger than me, and You know, they talk about how things used to be so much better, and you know, we had values and all the rest of this stuff. And I go, well, wait a minute, when was this exactly? Because the times that they're talking about are times when I was already an adult, and I had already sort of started coming to terms with this, and realizing that all along it had never been as good as I thought it was, because I was kind of living in a childhood bubble, you know. And growing up is coming out of the bubble and finding out that it isn't really, the world is beautiful. I mean, it really is. It's an amazing thing to be alive. Well, it's not, you know, but the whole aggregate of our government and our supply system, the economics of how everything fits together and how wasteful we are and how disrespectful we are of each other and how everybody is so selfish and nobody wants to work with each other and there are no real win-wins. People don't want that. There's that side too. And so I don't really have a whole lot more to conclude on this one right now, other than I'm just getting a dialogue right now from my iPhone that says, do you want to do the software update? See what I'm talking about? Somebody at Apple decided that while I'm recording a podcast, I need to answer this question about the maintenance of my computer here. And of course, trying to find the app that I use to manage these recordings. I just found it, so. Anyway, I'm awful sorry to be the bearer of bad news, young people, but the world's fucked up. It really is. You know, yeah. But on the other hand, it's really fantastic, too. So there's that as well. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.